I think a small charity like us, we don't seem to attract, and people think because the name is such a high profile name that we have no problems, that people automatically give to us. But we get a lot of support from members of the public, but not so much in cash. Since the trial, I think we've had quite a lot more donation than what we've had before, but the trust is still in a very vulnerable position. All the exciting stuff is happening is where we are continue to work on the built environment around the architectural side of stuff, that work's continue. And we have a little bit of money to give out to some bursary students this year, which is really good because last year we didn't really have anything. And where we're looking, not just looking at architecture, but looking at other professions that's underrepresented, and which we're looking at law, and the financial institution, we're trying to help people in there as well, and in the media side of stuff. So those are the three areas that we're going to try and focus on our attention on this year, because we have, I think it's a bit like architecture, is that a lot of people don't understand around those profession, and they assume that it's not for them. And so what we want to do is say, you know, your horizon is wide, so you should look at other avenues rather than thinking that this profession is not for you because I don't know how to get into it. So we just want to help open the doors for them.
Sure. And obviously widening out to law and the media, why do you think it's important that people are represented in those industries?
I think it's very important. I think when you look at, especially around the media, TV and broadcasting, you know, I think especially for young blacks and things, they think they have to be performers in order to get into the media side of things, and don't think about all the technical sides that they can do, like behind the camera and all the technical things that they could add to their portfolio. So we want to say to them, look, it's not just about the singing and dancing. There's other avenues that you can get into these profession. And yes, it may take a little bit longer, but, you know, it is worth it, because even as a singer, that only lasts for a certain period of time. But if you're looking at a long-range thing for your career around your profession, that's the avenue that you need to look into.
Why do you think those jobs are not as desirable in some respects, or have they not been as open to having young black people involved in them? What's been the sort of the barrier to entry there?
I think they are desirable, but I think young people believe, especially young blacks, that they could never get into those profession, and also the door is not open for them. And I presume unless they can see representation of themselves there, they think it's something that they can't do. It's a bit like architecture. I mean, I think when we first start talking about it and looking to set the trust up, was what, less than 2% of the population who were black as architect. And since then, it hasn't grown as to the extent I'd like to see it has grown, but it's much wider. And I think the young people that we've had and that we've supported have come through where the trust has helped them. And we have got qualified architects now since we started.
Did Stephen have a role model within architecture, or was he sort of, you know, almost out on his own in terms of he saw it and he, I mean, he would have been, I suppose, a bit of a pioneer if he'd have progressed that far?
I mean, so when he first talked about it, I mean, so we didn't hardly know anything about architecture as a profession. But when he did his work experience, he managed to, we helped him to get into a practice that was run by a black architect, and that helped to inspire me even more, because there was a role model that he could sort of see, well, yes, this person has achieved and I can do the same. So in that respect, it has helped.
Sure. I mean, do you think there are enough black role models currently in London for young black people to aspire to?
I think sometimes they're not visible. I think there are plenty of them, but they're not visible in a way in which within the white population you see so many of them entrepreneurs out there. I don't think they're that visible, and we'd like to open the door for them to see it is visible, because there might be people that we've spoken to and black professionals we know are out there, but they're somehow not that visible.
One of the areas, of course, that has come under huge scrutiny in terms of role models and representation is in the police. Now, since we spoke last with James, there have been a number of stories about racism in the Met, 20 officers now being investigated over separate incidents. When you heard about that in the news, what was your reaction? How did you feel?
I wasn't surprised by it, because I think I've been talking about this for years, that especially the officers around the beat who had that close contact within the community, you know, is something I've always been talking about. I think within the senior officers, some of them understand and they actually get that they need to change. But I think a lot of officers believe that they can just continue as they were before. And I'm really pleased that it's open now and people can see that after McPherson, things hasn't changed that much.
Is it quite a radical step, if you like, from the commissioner to sort of try and clean house in this way? What sort of message do you think he's trying to get out to people outside the force and people inside the force? Is this a new approach, if you like, from the Met in your eyes?
Yes, it is, because I think the commissioner before him, Paul Stevens, I miss her, he announced on the 10th anniversary of the McPherson report that the word institutional racism should not concern the Met anymore, because they believe they've done it and they've, you know, that's it. And I said at the time that he was wrong, and I think the message is coming out now. It shows that he was wrong, and this new commissioner, I'm hoping that he continues that way, because I think what needs to happen is for those officers in the force to understand that they have to change. They cannot continue how they treat people on the street in the way in which they do. And also, because of technology these days, I think that's what's been going on for so long, because of technology these days, that you can actually record, and so you have the proof, because before, it's their word against the individual. And who are you going to believe? A police officer is never going to tell a lie. So I think this is really good. This is the positive and a way forward.
I was just going to talk about the idea of recording. I mean, isn't it awful? The only reason that we know about what happened to other officers, these racism investigations were opened, was because two young black guys who were handled by police on the 11th of August after the riots, one of them did record a police officer racially abusing him. Now, if that hadn't happened, if he couldn't prove it, then, you know, this would never come to light in the first place, would it?
Exactly. I mean, so nobody would believe the individual that this is how the police behave. Because I think for years, especially if you're going back to the 90s and even long before that, when we talk about police brutality and police racism, nobody believed that it was happening. You know, a police officer, he opposed the law, and there's no way he would do anything like that. And, you know, it's taken however long for us to prove. Because the thing, if it wasn't for Stephen's case proving that the police are institutional racists, then that would never come to light, and the whole country wouldn't even think about it that way. And I think since then, and you know, I've been hearing about so many things, and it's not just in London it is happening. I just read an email this morning from a family over in Nottingham, where a judge was supposed to report it in court that there's no racism in the Nottingham police, but only in the Met. And this is a judge saying that. And so it's given the police in that area that they can behave and carry on how they like, whether being racist or not, because the judge will uphold what they say and not what the families who are suffering racism by the police.
We're now in April 2012. Have the Met learn the lessons of the McPherson report, the McPherson inquiry, in your eyes?
Well, I think after we just talked about the 20 officers who've just been suspended around racism, I think the only thing that seems to, the lesson that seems to be learned is with this new police, this police commission now, who's actually taken actions against individual officers. I think before, we've not seen to the extent that this has happened before, and I think this is right. Is the right way to go.
We've been reporting today that Scotland Yard's reopening the investigation into the death of Kester David. Now, his family think he was murdered. His mother, Winifred Griffith, says the investigation wasn't done properly because the family is African Caribbean. Her quote is, "We would not have had to wait so long and fight so hard if Kester had been a white man." Do you know the background to the story?
I don't know the background to it, but I did hear the news this morning. So, apparently he was found under some railway.
Yeah, but he was in a bus that caught on fire or something. He'd been really badly burned, I think. But your reaction to that, I mean, does that depress you, given, you know, what you've had to fight for?
I think it's really hard on families who are having to fight and struggle, because I've experienced that over the years, how long it took to get just even just two out of the five, possibly six, to be convicted. And it's like you have a lone voice in the wilderness calling out and saying, this is what happened, this is wrong, and there's nobody listening to you. And so to have that family, it's like when, I'm trying to think of the guy, Manson, when he was, the police accused him of setting light to himself, this a young black guy who had had mental health problems. The police said that he set fire to himself, and it was proven. And so if the family didn't have to fight and struggle, that would go unpunished also. And why is it a black family have to fight so hard to get justice and a white family don't? What is the difference? It has to be racism.
What would you say to Kester Davies' mother, Winifred, given, you know, the wall of silence that there has been in the past?
I don't know, stay strong. Eventually the truth will come out. You know, I think people can hide from the truth, but one day it will come out. And, you know, I understand her grief. You know, I don't know how she actually feels, because the circumstances are completely different to how Stephen died. But I do understand her struggle, because no one should have to struggle so hard. Because if there's a crime committed, that's why we have police, a police service to investigate that crime.
Obviously, last summer we had the riots hit London, and at times I think the finger was pointed at young black males, especially in the area of Tottenham, killing of Mark Duggan, etc., etc. You know the story. How would you assess the relationship between the Met Police and, you know, young black, mainly males at the moment? And is there anything that can sort of inspire them to join up and actually become part of the police, do you think? Because that's what, I mean, surely that's where the problem lies, is that young black men look up to the police or look at the police and just see them as completely alien and that they don't understand them.
And unless things change, you know, because I think for young black men, unless we see what happened to those 20 officers being suspended, and unless you see people taking actions, people in authority, because the police officers, because they wear the uniform, they believe they have a power over you and they can do what they like. What officers don't understand, they have to police by consent. They need the community to give them consent to police them. And if they show a disregard for the people within the community, then there's no way that the community is going to respect them. So they need to change. And for individuals to join a police, join the force, they have to have the confidence in that while they're there, that they'll be treated with respect. And I mean, it's like promotion and stuff within the police. How many officers of higher rank? I know when the latest thing that came out about these 20 officers, they had Leroy Logan making comments. How many black officers of his rank and how many black officers of chief constable? They only had one that was in Kent and he retired, and where there is no more. So, and unless within the force they can show that regardless of your colour of your skin, but as long as you've got the ability and the talent in order to do the job, that is what you should be judged by and by nothing else. Until that change, you will have this, you know, what happened around the Duggan family. And when you think of another thing, for them, the authorities to say that the family cannot have an inquest because of information that might come out, who do they think they are to sort of deny the family that? The family has a right to know how their son died, how, you know, a member of their family. And for them to say that, you know, no, you can't have one. And would they do that to a white family?
Have you had any contact with the Duggans since it happened? I mean, do you sort of feel any kind of kinship with them? Obviously, completely different circumstances in some ways, but has there been sort of a line of communication?
No, there hasn't been. It's very difficult for me because I think I can't get involved in every little thing that goes. I think my main priority has always been around the trust and around what happened to Stephen. And, you know, I can had a voice here and there wherever I can. But I must say, no, I have not contact. I think we sent a letter of condolence, a message, and that's what we've done. But I think to sort of get involved in everything that happens in London, I would have not enough time in the day, you know, to do that, because there's so many things that's happening. And my priority has to be where the trust is concerned, because I think the trust can do so much good within the community and wider. And we're not just looking at how we can support just black young people, but support everybody within the community. And I think that has to be my priority.
Imagine you had sort of an 18-year-old black guy sitting here, and he's asking you advice, and he's considering going into the police force perhaps. What would you say to him? Would you encourage him to do that, or would you say, you know, don't bother?
I don't think I would discourage him, but I think he needs to understand why he wants to do that. And if he feels strongly enough, then I think whatever we can do to support him to go into the force, I think that's what we should do. Because, you know, we can be on the outside, make all the criticism that we like and think, but unless we actually take part in that and look to change, then we can't just be on the sideline. We have to be within it, you know, to make the difference. And also and for that person to understand they need to be strong enough, because of all the stuff that's going to happen to them. Can they cope with that? And what support is going to be there for them? And if the Commissioner of Police is somebody who feels that he's able to support that individual, or as many officers that who wants to join up, then that's the way we need to make sure that he continues to do the work he's doing, and so that officers feel the confidence that they can join.
Have you got more confidence, if you like, in this commissioner than you have in previous ones? Is he making for you the right noises and doing the right things?
Well, it's early days. I think sometimes with a lot of these senior officers, they understand all the PR and the marketing stuff and what they need to do. And so I'd like to see a lot more. And, you know, I think the fact that when it comes to what officers do and how the IPCC and the rest of them, there's a whole, it's not just one thing. There's a much broader area in which everything needs to be tackled at the same time, because the community needs to have confidence in the force that they are going in the right direction. And I think it's a start, but we mustn't get complacent and think, okay, you know, he's done that now, we can just forget about it. No, we can't.
Dorian Horrocks, thank you very much. Anything you'd like to add?
I think we started off talking about where the trust need the support of the community, and it's just for them to understand that, especially now in this climate, you know, the trust is in such a delicate position. You know, unless members of the public start supporting the trust financially, that the trust won't be around to continue the work that it's doing. And that is how serious it is now.